All right, did you enjoy that session with Randy?
Yes.
Very helpful, right?
Yes.
Man, that's a lot of years of counseling and taking. I mean, there is a ton of different ideas of homework and kind of narrowing that down into six different ways of doing it. That's what you're going to get here again, but you're going to get a lot more ideas. So here's the plan for right now. I'm going to talk for about 20 minutes. I'm going to turn it over to Sue Miller, who is my counseling assistant, now is the director of our women's ministries and certified with ACBC. She's going to run through with you through your manual a bunch of the different homework assignments that she has developed and how she uses them. So we're going to get more specifically how to use them. And then Marcy has even more that she will not finish, though she will try. And so if you look in your notes, it'll say approaches to homework, I think. It'll have my name on there. This is what's called Asian style. Lou Priolo developed it. It's just like, you know, you go to order Chinese food, and everybody orders one thing on the menu. If there's five of you, you have five things that you've ordered, and then you all just kind of whack it up, right? Well, that's just how he developed it. It's just something to help you remember. But if you just look down the list, Randy talked about all of these. It's just a different format. If you're thinking about at the end of a counseling appointment and you want to assign homework, what would you assign? And so if you just read it through, something to read, write, hear, do, projects, and some scripture and memory to memorize. That's it. So when you're thinking about it, you've assigned some things like, well, I've given them some scripture to read and something to write, but what would I assign for them to hear? What could I bring out? Is there a podcast or are there sermons I could direct them to? Is there some DVDs that we have or on the campus or DVDs they could buy to watch that we could talk about when they get back? This is just to help you be thinking about different things that you can assign during the counseling. Now, so I'm not going to go through all that. I have lots of things that I wrote down, but Randy did so much. I don't think I need to repeat that. I'll yield some of my time to the ladies who can give their homework assignments. But I will make some other comments. How many of you have been to Chuck E. Cheese and will admit it? How many of you want to go again? Okay, if you have been to Chuck E. Cheese, how many of you remember the game Whack-A-Mole? So a lot of you do not remember Whack-A-Mole. Okay, so a mole is that thing that goes under the surface of your grass and just kind of eats away at the roots of your grass. Not a gopher, but a mole. Okay, and then the mole pops out of your grass and leaves a big dirt mark, right? So the game, it's one of those stupid, it's not a video game, it's a, whatever you call it, interactive game, yeah. So you have a mallet and you had like these holes on something that's like this podium here. And the game is going on, the music is playing, and then the mole comes out of the ground and you whack it. And then another one pops in, whack, 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 whack. And so you're just whacking moles all along. Okay. That is a very good illustration of how not to counsel. So let me tell you what I mean by that. Ladies, let's say you're counseling a woman and she says, you know, I've really been struggling with submission. And you go, oh, well, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 21, and then read them through Ephesians 5:21 and how you're supposed to be submitting to your husband. Oh, I know, but I just feel so tempted. Oh, well, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Oh, I've tried that, but I'm so depressed. Oh, let's turn over to Psalm 42. Okay, that is whack-a-mole counseling. Please don't do that. All those scriptures are right scriptures. They're applicable, but that's just not helpful use. Okay? If you want to go through those scriptures, there's a different way of doing that. You're sitting with the same woman who's struggling with submission. Great. Keep digging in. Keep learning about her. Express some mercy and grace. It is difficult for many people to submit, man or woman, right? Just hear her out. Find out how long she struggled with that. Did she ever not struggle with that? There's a whole lot you can find out about all that. And then, at the end of your session, when you're ready to assign some homework, assign Ephesians 5:21 to 33 and say, hey, we'll talk about that when we get back. Now she has a chance to go home and read it for herself, like Randy said, three times this week. And then you're going to prepare to instruct her when she comes back. So now she's had a week to think about it, okay? Instead of coming up out of the ground and whack, she already knows what you're going to say. And the Holy Spirit has been talking to her while she's reading the scriptures. She is going to be more ready to receive what you have to say than when you whack them all. Make sense? Okay. Second thing on that, the assigning homework. If you're new to counseling, at the end of your session, because you're learning from people who have been doing this a long time. Someone like Randy can, at the end of his session, just tell you the six things he's going to assign right off the top of his head. Okay? His staples that he goes to, but he's also just done so much different counseling. He knows what he's going to do. So he's got it out. He's got his little, what do you call those things he showed you? The transparency thing, not transparency. Carbon copy thing. We have those too. They are really helpful. But many of you are not the quick thinkers or experienced counselors. You're new counseling or you're a processor. Why do you have to give it to them right there? You don't. We have email. Email's very helpful. And if you type it out once, I print out a copy, I put it in my file. I open before the next week. There's my agenda for this week is going over the homework. There it is. And it gives me a chance to think about it. So I've just done this more and more lately, just telling them, you know what, I want to think about what I'm going to assign you. I tend to get the harder cases here. So that's part of why. There are certain things that we all go to in counseling, but there are certain harder ones where I'm not really sure exactly what I want them to do or where I want to start because I have a list. What's first, you know? So I just tell them, hey, I'm going to give it some thought, and I'll get you some homework by the end of the day or by early tomorrow morning. Email it out. They come in. We're ready to go. Hey, something else that Randy said that I wanted to comment on the homework. You all have seen Trey and Deb Part 1 last year and Part 2. So you remember when he cornered Trey on his TV watching, right? Remember he said, I didn't really watch all that match. Oh, how much did you watch? Oh, not that much. Well, what'd you watch on Saturday? How many hours? 3 hours. Oh, what'd you watch on Sunday? What'd you watch on Monday? Do you remember he went through this? It's so uncomfortable, right? Okay, there are other ways to do that. To do this, there are other ways to handle when somebody don't do their homework. You don't have to always be as confrontive as that. That is sometimes appropriate and sometimes not appropriate. You're counseling a person, not just the same person rolling in, right? This isn't a car that rolls in. It's the same car that got produced by the same manufacturer. We're human beings. So I would say just think about how you want to talk to them. So what I've got to learn to do is if they come in the second week and they didn't do the homework, my first thought is I did not assign it correctly. And if they did not understand it, it is my fault, not theirs. They come in with problems and they are struggling and the emotions are high. And you think they're hearing the things you're saying when they're most likely thinking about all the things you haven't asked them about and they want to tell you about. Okay. And you haven't got there yet. And you're trying to assign homework while their mind is spinning on what they still want to tell you about, maybe if it's a marriage thing, definitely about their mate, right? All right, so there are lots of different ways to assign homework, and I would just say be careful how you handle it when they have not done their homework. So if they come in and they didn't do it, my first thought is, okay, I didn't assign it correctly or they just didn't hear me correctly, whatever, no big deal. Let's work on some of it now. Maybe there's some more things I can get to with them. It's a second session. I'm just still getting to know them, really, you know. Okay, but then for the third week, what I'll do is I will call in advance or text. Hey, just confirming we're meeting tomorrow, you know, wink, and that you have your homework done. That's what I'm really checking. I know they've got me on the calendar. I want to make sure the homework is done. And if they say, oh, not quite done, that will depend. I might meet with them because some people, they need to meet. And you can't just put them off because they didn't do their homework. Okay, there are some things that are they are on the edge of disaster. You got to meet. But most of the time for you, it's going to be, I'll just give them some space. Say, okay, you know, how much you get done? Half it done? Okay, let's come in and let's talk about those half. But if that continues on another week, if I sniff out that they're going to be that kind of a couple or that kind of a person, then I will text, have you done your homework? Hey, haven't quite done it yet. Great, let's reschedule. And the next week, they'll have their homework done. So somewhere in there is the right way to do it with the person that you're meeting with. There is no right or wrong for every single person. Counseling is as much an art as it is a science. So think about the person that you're counseling. Don't think about the method that you're being taught from any one of us. You're the discipler, okay? So you got to be true to who you are and let God lead you the way God's leading you. We're not giving you rules to follow. Okay, I had a couple other things. Books were mentioned. Pamphlets were mentioned. So there are 61 churches here this weekend, which is really awesome. And most of you are doing some kind of counseling, some more formal than others. So I'm just going to tell you, we're more formal. So we have a lot of counselors that are here. There's over 50 counselors here now. And we have 3 counseling offices, and all of our pastors counsel that they're not part of that list. All the pastors and all the elders are not part of the list of over 50 counselors. And we always have a waiting list, by the way. As soon as you start developing a counseling ministry and it starts to get known, people will come from all over the place to get help. All right? So that's a separate issue. Not what I was going to talk about. What I was going to talk about was the books and the pamphlets. So pastors that are here in the room, we put it in our church budget, $4,000 a year that we give out in books and pamphlets. We give those out to our counselors, and we give those out to our counselees. It's free. The way we look at it is people are coming to us because they are in trouble. Why do we want to make them pay to get out of trouble? So we don't charge for counseling. We don't charge for books. So that money comes out of the church budget. And how does money get into the church budget? The tithing. The church. So the whole church body who's in there worshiping on Sunday morning, they're all participating in the counseling process by giving their money. We're all in this together. It's a family business here, and we're doing family business in counseling. So I really love that, and that is one I would really encourage you to adopt. Put some money in your budget. Buy people the materials. It's not a waste. You really are helping people. So anyways, I just want to give you some of those things. And then I want to talk to you on the backside of that first sheet. Evaluating your homework. These are just some very quick questions that I want to yield to Sue. When you evaluate your homework, did it achieve the goal? If it did not achieve the goal, why not? What did you think I was looking for is a good question you might ask them. Don't make them feel stupid if they didn't understand what the homework was. Again, take responsibility for it. Was it clearly stated? You might write it down, but ask them to tell you what they understand, what you wrote down. Tell me now what you think you're going to be doing during the week. You might find out that even though you told them and you wrote it down, they still didn't understand it. As I said, I already said D, take responsibility for them if they did it wrong. Did they resist when you gave it? You might learn something there. Did you give too much? I said be really careful if you give too much, and that's why I like Priolo's list of 5 things. That's probably not too much. Be careful on that, and every counselee is going to be different. Can the counselee see some success in doing it? And do they know why? Do they know what you're aiming at? And were they excited to do the homework? Did I waste their time with it? Was it appropriate for their situation, or was I copying? Well, here's what Randy does. Randy always goes to Matthew 5 to 7, so that's what I'm going to always do is go to Matthew 5 to 7. Well, that may not be the appropriate thing for the person that you're dealing with. That person that you're dealing with, they might know Matthew 5 to 7 forwards and backwards. That may not be it for them. So thinking about what's appropriate for them and their situation, and then did I use it well? The last one that I was going to talk about, Randy already talked about learning that person's writing style. So now we're going to get very specific and come up with some great ideas. And so Sue Miller, you're going to pop up here.
Thank you. Wow. I always say whenever I get up in front of a large group, and this is probably the largest group I've ever spoken to, I'd rather be in the counseling room talking to one person. But anyway, I'm so happy to be able to share with you a little bit today about how I do homework. I loved what Randy started out with when he said that we want to change. We want to help our – I'm going to talk about gals a lot. Sorry, guys, because those are the people I talk to. Our gals think and act rightly. And so a lot of my homework goes with helping them to think and act rightly. So if you'll look at the first page, and a lot of this is going to be so redundant, I cannot believe how together we are on this. Just listening to Randy's talk and all of the things that he said, you're going to hear a lot of very similar things from all of us, but that's because this is where we want to go with our counselees. So the first page I have reading God's Word. That is my main goal for my gals each week, is for them to be in the Word. And so the tools that I use, because I feel like just sending them home and saying, okay, read Mark 1 this week, is not really going to be helpful to them of course it's going to be helpful to them, but to give them some other tools besides that. So let's say the section on reading the Gospels. So I would ask her to read one chapter each week in the Gospel of Mark and then record those things. What chapters did you read? What did you learn about Jesus from your reading? How should what you learned help you in your walk with Jesus? Write a one-sentence prayer asking God for some aspect of what you learned and asking him to help you grow in your walk with him as a result of what you have learned. Now, I did not make up these questions. These are awesome questions that I got from one of my professors at Masters. But you can use all of those if you want to. And then on the second page, you'll see that I also use David Helm's book. And I don't know if any of you have seen it. And I don't think that we have it in the – I know it's in the bookstore because we use it a lot. David Helm's book is one-to-one, and it helps you with reading, sitting down and asking questions of your with your counselee as you look into the Word. So you can have her do this on her own, or you can spend time just sitting there with her going through Ephesians 1, for example. So there's two different ways that he does this. The first one is the three easy ones at the top, which say, ask her, is there anything that shines out and captures your attention from this passage? And then, is there anything that's hard to understand and you'd like more clarity on? And then lastly, is there anything that you can apply to your life this week? So that would be a really simple way to get her into the Word and start to think about how does this information, this word from the Lord apply to my life. Then the second part is, that's just an example of the coma questions for the epistles, but you can go to the website at the very bottom, at Matthias Media, and you can actually create these documents. You can print them out yourself, and you have permission to do that, and it's really, really helpful. So you can have all of these questions as you are going into your counseling session. So, and they have them for all the genres there. I skipped on the first page, general application questions. If you just want to look at those and kind of see what might apply to your counselee, those are also helpful too. All right. My third page is, it's about verse review and prayer and then supplemental reading. So the three things that I like to do with my counselee for homework is have them in the Word, have them memorizing a verse, and have them reading some supplemental reading that relates to where they're at, what their struggle is. I made a list at the bottom of books that are my go-to books. Since most of the time I counsel marriage problems, anger problems, fear and worry, and forgiveness. Those are probably my main four things that I see women about. Those books at the bottom I find very helpful. But the verse review, I ask them to write out on a 3x5 card their verse. And then on the other side of the verse card, I ask them to write out a prayer that has to do with praying back this verse, this particular verse, as it relates to her life. So I brought one as an example because I think this is really helpful. So Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." And then my prayer on the back is, "Father, show me the things I say that are hurtful and cutting, and help me to stop saying words that are unwholesome. Help me to say words that will build people up today and encourage them." You can get even more specific. If she's struggling with words with one of her children or with her husband, you let her pray for that particular person in her prayer. So I do find this really helpful. I have her review the verse 3 times a day. And each time she reviews the verse, pray the prayer. And then next week, in addition to, we'll add another verse. And we'll, so by the time we're done, we'll have a bunch of verses and a bunch of prayers that she can pray back to God. And then the supplemental reading, I just assign, and I usually take this page and just print it and then copy it. Sometimes I'll do what Steve does and send it home. I mean, send an email, but often I want to talk with her through it and kind of explain it a little bit more. So read whatever chapter, like let's say read chapter 1 of Trusting God and answer these questions in your journal. Okay, so you ask her to highlight 10 things in the chapter that were most important to her. And they can be questions that she has, things she doesn't understand, things she might disagree with, because these are all bring up great questions next week when you're going to meet the next time. So she highlights those 10 things. Choose the most important statement for you to apply to your life right now. List 3 specific steps you can take to start practicing that truth this week. Practice those steps daily. Record the results in your journal and bring them with you next time. And then come prepared to talk about it. Because like Steve and Randy said, your homework will lead your next meeting. Which is really fun, because then as you think about what homework you're giving, you are definitely going ahead, moving ahead with what your next meeting is going to look like. All right, so next page. Oh, just as for an ad, of course, the verses that I usually use are Ephesians 4:29. I use all the time. I use a lot of the nagging verses from Proverbs. They are so, so helpful for us women to remember. And then I also use James 1:19-20 on anger a lot. And so those would be very soon on these cards. Okay. Then is this, which one do you have next? Oh, good. I was hoping that was the next one. Okay. So as I was listening to Randy, I thought, wow, my 3-month plan is a lot like his spiritual discipline. So that was really good. This is a great document that I am very thankful to Dr. Somerville for giving me this document when I was doing my ACBC mentorship. I guess that's what it's called. Yeah. But this, I give this... probably as I'm feeling like we're a month away from winding down. And so we talk a little bit about it, but I ask her to take this home, read it over, and start answering the questions that are on here. And then you can use this week to week too and kind of give her different ideas for, so let's just go through it because I think it's really important to do that. In order to develop dependence on God, His Word, and His Church, the following questions have been devised to assist you in the writing of your own goals on ongoing spiritual growth. Please come in the next session able to give a concrete answer to each of the following. What will my overall plan for reading the Bible be? And so you can help her with that, maybe think about where her struggle lies and which direction you'd like to lead her in reading the Word. What book of the Bible can I read for a month? What key passages can I study from that book? What verses can I memorize and meditate on? And then this says consider doing a Discovering Wonderful Things study. I don't know if you've seen, Steve, what's that thing in the biblical counseling Cornerstone manual that's kind of, yes, I think that's what it's called. It helps you observe and interpret a passage. What's it? Does anybody remember? Yes, Thank you. That's it. So just there's, and this is the Discovering Wonderful Things form, but each one, you just help them to look at a passage, to interpret what it's saying, to apply it to their life, to write a prayer out, and then to mark results and to see where God has given them success. So that's a pretty involved thing that you can teach them later on as they're going through, as they're finishing up with you. Okay, let's see. What is my plan? What is it called, Carolyn? That's it. Yes. And that's in the, I'm sorry, yes, Bible study application format. And it's in the Cornerstone book, which, what's the name of that book again? The Self-Confrontation Manual. Okay. So, number three. What is my plan and schedule for prayer? When, where, how long? What needs to be on my prayer list? Worship, praise, and thanks to God. Confession of sin. So you're really training her here to be not a part of your little counseling world anymore, but to be back in the church. And so, you know, she can pray for people, for the church, for evangelism. And then in what ways can I serve God and others in my local church? And I think that's so helpful when you're moving her out of the counseling room to get her involved in some serving ministry. And that could happen way before she leaves you, actually, because the more she focuses on somebody else, the less she'll focus on her struggles. Let's see. In what ways can I said that. How can I demonstrate love for God and others each day or week? And that often will be right in her home. So if you can help her with some really basic, specific things that she can do. Then number six, what additional reading can I plan for in order to grow in my knowledge of God? What specific time will I set apart for reading? What is my goal for reading? Who can help me? Who can hold me accountable for growth? And then what sermons can I listen to? I find that very helpful. If you have a favorite pastor that you would like her. Ooh, 5 minutes? Okay. I'll talk faster. Encourage her to do that. Put it on her iPod or whatever. And encourage her to listen to sermons. What can I take in more spiritually uplifting music? What Bible studies are available to me and which ones can I take part in? And what accountability group can I join? So this takes a little bit of time. This is not a 1 week homework. This is she keeps bringing it back and you keep talking about it and kind of encouraging her along the way. All right. So because I only have 5 minutes, I'm going to go to my favorite thing. And that is this guy. I live and breathe this little diagram right here. And so I just want to share with you a little bit of how I use it. I draw this out with my gal probably my first meeting with her, because it really helps me to explain. I refer back to it weekly. It helps me to explain how she's making choices that are pleasing herself or that are pleasing the Lord. And so I don't use this document. Instead, I draw it. And you guys probably can't see that. But anyway, I draw it really simply over here. And then I walk through her each of the parts. So the choice part, the circle, is her point of decision. She's in a difficult circumstance of some sort. Let's just say her husband's late coming home from work. Dinner's cold. The kids are crying. She had other plans for the evening and she's angry. Okay. So then how does she think? Does she think she's going to please herself or is she going to please the Lord? And so then I take her through the consequences of pleasing herself. So that would be the list on the right-hand side of the page. for instance, broken relationship, having outbursts of anger, she's a terrible example to her children. She will probably say hurtful things. She's stuffing her feelings. She's bitter. She's being selfish, and she feels helpless. Okay. So that list will be totally unique to your counselee as she is going through whatever struggle she's going through. So we list those together. And then on the other side, the principle-oriented side, I help her to see that when she chooses to please God and deny herself, then she'll grow. She'll begin to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And she may just begin to see that sweet fruit that comes from being obedient to God. Her relationship will begin to mend. She'll be a good example. Her communication will improve with her husband. She'll start to put others first, and she'll have hope. I mean, when she can see that, okay, this is what I'm doing, but this is what I need to do, and God is going to help me with this, that gives her hope. She's not stuck. Okay, so that's kind of an overview of what I do with her in the room, but then her assignment is to take this home and explain it to someone else. And then when she comes back the next week, her assignment is to be able to explain it to me. And, yes, 1 minute. Okay, I'm almost done. Let's see. So that's it. But this thing, I use this personally all the time because when I'm thinking I want to make a bad choice, this is clearly in my mind. So I would encourage you to use that too. All right. Last one is this daily temptation record. I will use this for anger, for fear, for anxiety, for anxious thoughts, for unforgiveness. So you can just slot in the different words. What, who, when, why, what happened? That's your first question. What am I thinking? What do I want? That's the third one there. What's going on in my heart? What was I tempted to do? What did I do? There's her chance for a choice. What would God have wanted me to do? Here's how I can please God rather than pleasing myself. And then how can I better prepare for this temptation in the future? What scripture do I need to call to mind in this situation the next time I'm feeling this way or I'm in this situation? What truth do I need to remember? Okay, done.
Okay. Hi, yeah, I'm Marcy, and if you guys can just, on page 23 is the kind of a summary of the resources. I'm the last, and my, what I'm here for, so when Steve asked me to do a presentation for the counselors, trainees at our, in the summer, I was just giving resources, I thought. And so I didn't give a plan like Steve and Sue did. But so I'm sort of just giving resources that fit in with the plans they gave. So these are just tools that go along and fit into the plans that these counselors have already given you. So hopefully it will just be everything fits in and goes smoothly. So this is a summary sheet, and then if you'll just keep your hands there and turn, the next one is sort of an overview, and it just shows you that when I start with my counselees, I usually always give them, with my ladies, I want them to be organized, and so I start out with a binder, and this is just a little thing that I give everybody, a binder with memory cards, because as you've seen, we all do Bible memory. That's an important thing. And then I give them some paper to do journaling. And then you'll see from all the papers that are in your binder, because this goes all the way to like 87 or so resources, instead of focusing completely on books, I do give a lot of either papers from the Journal of Biblical Counseling or blogs or summary sheets that I write out, different resources that I talk to my counselees about. So I give them a binder so they can keep it together. So that's the first thing I do. Then the most important resource is, like it says there, the Bible, because that's what we're hoping that we'll always be in, and that we'll be trying to focus on God's revelation of himself and trying to get his viewpoint. And that's our number one goal, is to try to change the counselee's viewpoint from worldly to seeing things through God's eyes. So that's our number one plan. And we know, like Dr. Ellen said, we can't do it, but we're God's instrument, and we try to keep pointing them to him. So there, Sue just gave you tons of ideas, and sometimes I use her ideas. Sometimes I use John MacArthur's way of going through reading plans, you know, and reading the same book over and over again, and then asking them to come up with what they read each day for a month, you know, reading the same book for a month, and then we see if what they get out of it. And but sometimes I ask them to go through the questions like Sue did, and so it depends on the counselee and what their pattern is of reading. And like Steve said, you just kind of individualize it with who you've got. Next, my number two is I use all kinds of books and pamphlets. Like Steve said, our office upstairs provides us with lots of resources. So I get they have lots of resources up there, and I get lots of ideas out of those. And sometimes I give them to counselees, but a lot of times I'll just read them and then use portions of them or ideas out of them. So I'll be sharing some of that with you. In here, then, it also talks about Journal of Biblical Counseling. You can get that off of the CCEF website, it's called, and you can order it there, and that is a tremendous resource. It's called JBC, Journal of Biblical Counseling, and they have a huge number of articles from 1977 till now. And then the CCEF website itself is a source of blogs and different things. Number five there, the Biblical Counseling Coalition, is also wonderful that way. Then I go to ministry websites like desiringgod.org and gty.org, number six there. And then, like Randy Patton was talking about, books like Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands is a fabulous resource for homework. And then there's a book that I use very, very often called The Gospel Primer, and that I use with many, many counselees, because this is like Dr. Ellen was talking about, since one of our major jobs is to disciple and to evangelize our counselees, this is a tremendous book for discipleship and to tell ourselves the gospel and to see how that impacts our lives day by day. And I think I mentioned how I go about having them read that. And then I find that lots and lots of different devotional books, either by Paul Tripp, by John Piper, by John Miller was one of them, Johnny Erickson Tada, just different ways they can say things in very small, concise ways that you can get those ideas across to your counselees that sometimes can make them think of the world in a more biblical, God-centered way that they're not used to thinking about concepts. And so it's just, you can do that sometimes, that if in ways that they don't have to read a whole book or a whole chapter. It's different ways you can do that. Okay, the next pages that just to share with you are the ways that I give them assignments, and that's page 25 to 28. I got those assignment sheets from the Biblical Counseling Foundation, which is the same company or organization where we get our Cornerstone Manual. The next ones, pages 30 to 31, are three more journaling type pages. And that goes along with Sue's last page there from her Daily Temptation record, which is would be your fourth type journaling. And journals are just, I find them crucial for especially week 1 through 4 when I'm doing counseling, and sometimes all the way through, because they're ways that you can get your counselee to look at their own words and to do self-confrontation. They get, like Dr. Ellen was saying today, they get to see themselves so that you don't have to point out to them what their sin and suffering are. They can sort of see it themselves if they write it down, what their reactions to things are, and they, in their own words, it sort of comes at them. You know, they start to see, oh yeah, this is what I wanted. This is how I'm reacting. And they start to see it doesn't match up with God's way. So it's a way of you getting data and them getting data and being faced with it, sort of. The next page, 32, is something I give counselees pretty much all the time on session one. Because after I've collected data, I spend session one as pretty much a complete data collecting time. But at the end of that time, we have I take them to Isaiah 43:7 and 1 Corinthians 10:31, and we talk about glorifying God. And then I start a homework assignment with glorifying God. And it's just to get them used to the idea that life, even no matter how painful it is, that God's purpose for us is usually quite different than what they thought it was, you know. So, and then the next pages, 33 to 36, are just wonderful resource verses. You can either use it with a counselee or just resources for yourself. Another counselor gave me this document, and I just find it really helpful. It's either for self-confrontation or a challenge, but they're just wonderful, hopeful verses that keep me grounded in what God's purpose for my life are. And I use that sometimes with counselees and sometimes spread it out. The next one is just an example of a thing from one of Paul Tripp's books, Realistic Expectations. It's a way of showing you how a 1 or 2 page thing can be used very early in counseling that is, you can either read it with the counselee and then discuss it, or you can, it's a way of showing them that they're looking at the world the wrong way and getting more of a God viewpoint on things and getting a little bit more of a realistic viewpoint and then asking questions. So that's just an example of all the different things that these devotional books can bring up to you, different ways of looking. The next one, God and My Problems, 39 and 40, is one of my favorite ones for God's attributes because it's very short and concise, but it's really helpful on trying to get you to understand, getting the counselee to work through how can I see God's attributes in my life and what does it mean? What difference does it make? I don't know if you guys have worked through the test for the ACBC test, but they want us to figure out how do God's attributes apply from our counselees' lives and in our life. And this one, it really does make a difference, you know, when we see who God is and what does that mean. So that comes into play usually quite early in my counseling also. Then finding intimacy with God. This, I found, is from the Journal of Biblical Counseling. I don't use this with every counselee, but this one is very important just for us as counselors. It's an eye-opening article in that, again, it plays in with what Dr. Nicholas was saying in our discipleship and our evangelism, in that you can't really evangelize or disciple somebody until they come to grips with who God is versus who they are. And you have to be aware of the glory of God before you can realize who you are and how humble that makes you. And this is just, it's amazing how that's really an issue with most of our counselees and their what makes them have the problems they have. So, I mean, you'll find that as you work with people, that pride is a huge issue. With pride and anger are huge issues with a lot of people. So anyway, that one's a good one. And then the think about these things on pages 46 and 47 was our wonderful resources from Elise Fitzpatrick from a couple of her books. And they're just really good ways to break down Philippians 4:8 so that you can get really good definitions of all the words that Philippians 4:8 uses, the way God wants us to take our thoughts captive. Then I have some marriage resources in the next several pages. One of them comes from this booklet, which I'm pretty sure is available in the bookstore. And this is a wonderful booklet if you really want to understand the biblical concept of love. And I have it here because it's been available for years from the Journal of Biblical Counseling. The first half of this booklet was originally in the Journal of Biblical Counseling by David Pallison. And it really opens so many of my ladies' eyes to what it means to really love your husband, because it talks about you can't have a good relationship with your husband if you don't have a good relationship with God, because loving your husband is the same as loving. You have to love him first. And then the second half of it's not available in the Journal of Biblical Counseling, but the second half of this talks about how to build intimacy with your husband, and it gives good questions and good ways, specifics on how to rebuild that. Then the second, on page 52, I have a lot of times what I do, there's so many books available, and this is a wonderful book on marriage, but it's really hard to get counselees to read like 6 books and stuff. So a lot of times I will just summarize things that I want them to know. And so sometimes I'll summarize 3 or 4 books and give them my summaries after I've got, first I deal with their heart and their relationship with God and stuff, but then I'll tackle some of the problems and I'll summarize books and give them some of my summaries and we'll talk about it. And this is one of the things I did with a couple ladies on that. This is just one little teensy bit of a summary of one chapter. And then you can ask questions and stuff like that. Then blogs. I find blogs really helpful because a lot of the people that write these books will write blogs in different mediums. And they are sometimes very insightful and easy to bring up with your counselees. And so this is one of the blogs by Winston Smith on pages 54, 55. And it's a very insightful blog. So I used that one. Then the longest article, and it was so sweet of Stephen Darcy to put this in the book, but this is on forgiveness from the Journal of Biblical Counseling. I rewrote this in, I mean, I didn't rewrite it. I just reformatted it. But it's in two parts so that I could do it in two sessions, From Your Heart, Forgive. And it has built into it these worksheets on forgiveness. But it's just the most amazing article by Aaron Cerrone on forgiveness, that because forgiveness also is something that I run into with almost every counselee. Because if you have a broken relationship, it's pretty much there. Forgiveness is an issue in most broken situations. So this one is just crucial because he says it's core to the Christian life and it's built into our identity in Christ. We need to be able to forgive. And this deals with it in a wonderful way. The next ones on Proverbs on anger are, like Randy said, it would be wonderful to do like Randy said and give them this as an assignment to go find on their own. I make it easy on them sometimes, and I give them the Proverbs on anger, and then I give them questions and have them go through and answer the questions on it. That's another way of doing it. But Randy's way would be wonderful also. Then here's a blog by Welch on how to disarm an angry person. And if you'll notice, the main point in this blog is humility, which takes you back to the one on intimacy with God. Then at the very end here, I have four worksheet assignments from all kinds of different ways. One of them, a really good one that I run into also a lot with my ladies, is Meekness by Martha Peace, and that's something else I run into very, very frequently. Meekness and submission, the dirty words for ladies. And so this one is one we work on a lot. And then identifying emotional responses. The reason I put these in is these are little booklets that we had available up in our office. But like you'll notice, this says, "Help, my spouse has been unfaithful." A couple of these assignments come from this booklet. Well, this is not necessarily a booklet I would give to a lot of my people because that may not be the issue that my people have had. But these assignments are really good. And so I took these assignments out of this booklet. So you may want this booklet, even though it may not be what you necessarily... So you may want to purchase the booklet even though you don't think you're going to need that topic, just because the assignments are good. It's Help, My Spouse Has Been Unfaithful, and it's by Day One Publications. But and then this one is a really good booklet that I use with a lot of people. My Marriage Has Grown Cold. That one you may use a lot. But and they have good assignments in them. Then at the end, I just put an example, because this is something I do with every counselee. As I'm going through the process, session by session, I make out the papers and verses, and by the week, I put down the resources I use, and then the verses for memory, and then the Bible passages that I use to study. Just so that at the end of my time with the counselee, I can use this as a review and say, look, this is what we've covered. You should know that this is what you have as resources. Make sure you keep track. So anyway, that's all.